podcast listeners, and welcome to another episode of Living Well with Kathleen Saunders, your weekly podcast where we discuss the financial, physical, spiritual, and social well-being of everyday people like you and me. The information shared in this show is for general information purposes only and should not be used to make any personal changes to your lifestyle or health without consulting the appropriate financial, medical, or healthcare professional. Hello, Living Well listeners, and welcome to another podcast. I'm looking forward for you to hear my guest today. Kamal Bahawaj is 42 and happily married. He and his wife have a six-year-old son. Kamal was born and raised in New Delhi, India. In 2006, he came to Canada to study visual effects at Seneca College in Toronto, Ontario. In 2008, he moved to Europe and lived in Germany and Belgium, where he met his wife in Brussels. In February 2016, he moved back to Canada with his wife, this time settling in Vancouver, British Columbia, where he currently works as a lighting technical director on Hollywood movies. How exciting! In December of 2018, after a visit to the doctors for another issue, Kamal was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. Today, Kamal will share how he reversed his type 2 diabetes without any medication. All right. Welcome, Kamal, and thank you for sharing with us today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Excellent. So I'm really excited to hear how you reversed your diabetes in just six short weeks.
It began on December 1st, 2018. I had a doctor's appointment for totally different, something else. I had meniscus tear, badminton injury, I would say, and I had no expectations. I had two big bagels and a big large cappuccino with sugar. And I went to see the doctor, and I was in for a shock that I've been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, and my HbA1c, in layman's terms, the blood sugar levels, were over the roof. It was 8.1, which is very high.
Wow.
And my doctor was very alarmed.
And the normal blood sugar should be what?
Well, between 5.7 to 6.5,
right,
or 6.4, you are pre-diabetic. 6.5 and above, you are diabetic. And definitely 8 and 9 and 10 is definitely too high.
That was really high. Wow.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, I did have some things were off before I had gone to see my doctor. Like, I was getting up in the night 3-4 times to go to the washroom, and I was feeling fatigued. I was feeling, the hunger swings. You feel too hungry, you feel too thirsty, you feel too tired. But then I thought maybe it's my badminton, and I did not add up things. I was not expecting to be diagnosed with type 2 because, well, I knew I'm marked because my mom is type 2 diabetic, and she's on insulin, but she got it in her late 50s.
I see. Okay.
Around her retirement time. So I was like, okay, I know it runs in the family.
And the signs were there, getting up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom, the hunger, and so forth.
Yeah.
Those signs were there. So actually, when you went to the doctor, what was the doctor's suggestion to you?
Well, he said that this is not good. Mm-hmm. Your blood sugar is too high, way too high, and seeing your family history, we will put you immediately on metformin. And he asked me to lose weight. He asked me to eat healthy, and that's about it.
And cut out sugar, so, I'm sure.
Yeah. Cut out sugar, yeah. Cut out sugar and stuff like that.
And change your diet. And did you do that?
It. Of course.
Yeah.
I did some really, I would say, military level action. I just, from that day onwards, I cut out so many things like wheat, rice, pasta, potatoes, bread, roti, naan, all those Indian flatbread we call roti, and all simple carbs.
All your typical home cooked meals, your traditional meals, right?
Yeah. But in India, we eat a lot of rice and roti, which is wheat. And so I took some strong decisions that from that day, December 1st onwards, I went I was already vegetarian, almost vegan, but then I went really, really hardcore
You took it
back.
a step up.
Yeah.
Right. So what were your
So,
steps for your recovery? Did you go ahead and take the medication as the doctor wanted to put you on metformin?
yeah, it's metformin. It's the normal, most usual path world over. Anywhere in the country, any country in the world, this is what they do. The first time they diagnose somebody with type 2, they put you on metformin. So I knew about the drug because my mom was also taking it a long time ago. But then I even went to the London Drugs. I stood in the line, but when my turn came and the pharmacist was asking me, "How can I help you?" I just turned away. I don't know, something
Oh, is
didn't
that
feel right.
right? Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of very dramatic. Yeah, I came home, I Googled metformin, side effects, diabetes, type 2, reversible, how to reverse type 2 diabetes. And the Google, there I found out a lot of resources. I found out about Dr. Jason Fung, Dr. Neil Barnard, and a friend of mine who's a vegan in India, he knows Dr. Nandita Shah. She's a animal activist and vegan, and she's a doctor, and she has reversed diabetes for thousands of Indians in India. She runs 21-day camps on diet and nutrition and lifestyle. So I got in touch with her. She said, "You'll have to come to India." I said, "It's difficult for me to leave my family here and my job and all business." But then she said, "You can look up videos in my books. You can do the course online." And then there was like one good blessing was that at during that time I was out of work. So December and January, those 2 months, 8 weeks, I had a lot of time by myself to fix myself. So I studied a lot. I went to the Vancouver Public Library. I got like 10, 12 books. And I got books of Dr. Furman, Dr. Michael Greger. And I found out that this thing is not a disease. First of all, the good news comes with the bad news that people have to understand that, if I could say, you have to take extreme responsibility.
Definitely.
And I also saw a lot of podcasts of this guy, US Navy SEAL Jocko Willink. He talks about taking responsibility of your life, and that motivated me that yes, I have brought upon this condition on myself, and I will not leave this in the hands of a doctor, big pharma, pharmacy, or medication. And when I was reading all the stuff, I found out it's a disorder. It's a disorder, and it's a silent degenerative disorder. So in itself, it's invisible. So I think the reason people do not take it seriously is that the big pharma or the doctors or the medical fraternity takes it as, okay, you have diabetes, you can manage it. Nobody talks about reversing it.
Reversing,
And
right?
that's where I even, luckily my doctor is very good. I'm so blessed that my doctor was so good that he said he himself would like to treat people without medicine. I mean, how often do you meet a doctor in today's world in Canada who's so good? He's also from the East. He's Iranian, he's Persian. And he gave me insight that, hey, listen, I know I'm giving you metformin, but let's see how it goes. But if you work on yourself, if you lose weight, if you cut down sugar, we can bring down these numbers with the help of metformin, but you will have to make some serious lifestyle changes because it is a lifestyle disorder.
So you
So I
took your
got,
health into your own hands and
yes.
you educated yourself and you read a lot of
Yeah.
articles and watched YouTube. Excellent. Good for
Yeah.
you. Good for
Yeah.
you.
Yeah. And I found out that this is a very important piece of information. Now I keep reading. Like last week I stumbled upon an article and there was a medical research and they found out that there was a research done on a group of people, group A, group B, and group A, they focus on weight loss, and those people lost around 33 pounds. And they were able to bring down their HbA1c drastically. So 33 pounds. So, and I was like, okay, I have done something close to that, not 33, but close to 30 pounds I lost. So I think weight, obesity, and diabetes and then diabetes leading to other disorders like kidney and heart problems.
Yes.
So everything is linked to the standard American diet. If I can blame all those sugary coffees at Tim Hortons, like I was gulping them down myself. So I am the culprit. I am responsible. People have to understand, they have to take the extreme responsibility of their health in their own hands. They cannot blame, they cannot play the victim. They have to be proactive. They have to say, okay, yes, I messed it up. Oh,
right.
I screwed up. Now what? So you have to have an accountability,
because,
a self-accountability.
Because someone may have driven you to Tim Hortons, or you might have walked to Tim Hortons, but no one actually put the food in your mouth, right? So that's
exactly.
That's where you have to take the responsibility
exactly.
for your own health.
Exactly.
Yes, yeah.
And it is true. The in North America, especially the Asians and South Asians, the amount of salt, the amount of sugar, the amount of fat, it's just too much. And our genetic composition, especially the Indians and South Asians, we are so genetically susceptible, like really, really vulnerable to fall in this trap. So all those immigrants who are listening, anybody from Asia, South Asia, even the Afro population.
Definitely, yes.
Across
the board, yes, you're right, yes.
And if you notice, during this COVID time, every one out of four people who were dying, they were diabetics. That's a big number. That's 25% people.
That's a lot.
And the other percentage they were dying were also having pre-existing health conditions like obesity or heart.
Yes.
So what I'm saying is, it's all connected. It's everything is connected. You fix one thing, the other things will also start falling in place. So if you lose weight, you tackle obesity, you tackle diet, what you put in your mouth, you fix that. And so much taxpayers' money. I mean, I hope somebody in the government is listening. The amount of money government of Canada is spending in billions in treating those disorders and related heart issues and so much. If they just put even a tiny drop fraction in educating people. But I think it's the rabbit hole goes too deep, because like I said, everything is connected. So it's all about the margins, the profits, and the pharma companies. So, and also people also take the path of least resistance. Taking a medication, popping a pill twice a day is a lot easier than doing intermittent fasting, than walking 10 kilometers a day. And above all, taking responsibility. People are shy. If I'm harsh, I'm sorry, but people are actually shy, or they run away, they escape from taking responsibility of their own health, their own life in their own hands. They always wanted to put it in somebody else's hand. They want to blame, oh, that did it to me, my genetics, my environment, my job, my food. No, it's you.
That's right. There's a blame game going on there. We need to take charge and be aware.
Yeah.
But the government, I also agree with you about the government. They need to do more increase in awareness on nutrition and what we're actually putting into our mouth, as opposed to pushing the medication. But again, as you say, it works hand in hand. The doctors push the medication. The pharmaceuticals are in business. And
exactly. Oh, I want to reveal something.
Yeah.
to reveal something.
I
don't know. When I got diagnosed with diabetes, I got a call from Diabetes Center, Education Center on St. Paul Hospital on Burrard Street, Vancouver. And there are two sessions on educating the new diabetics, new people who are diagnosed. And they invited me there. There were a couple of other people there. And they were giving away those free glucose measuring meters, you know?
Yes, yes.
And I was like, why they are giving it for free? Then I saw this whole, the pamphlets, the folder, all the materials were sponsored by that particular company, which is making those glucometer. And then I said, the doctors and the nurses there, when I talked to them, that I already have brought, by that time, I had already brought down my numbers significantly low.
Mm-hmm.
This is the end of January and the first week of February. By that time, my numbers were 6.1 from 8.1.
Wow.
So when I went there, the nurses and the doctors, they were actually booing me.
What?
They booed. I'm not kidding. They asked me to keep quiet. They asked me to leave because I was asking and I was raising a glucose. I was telling them and to the people there in the room that this thing is reversible. And the nurse said, no, It's not reversible. You have to live with it. You have to manage it. And I said, it's not a business. I'm not making money out of it. You manage a business. You manage a livelihood. You manage a home. You manage an office. You manage something which gives you something in return.
Wow.
This whole idea of managing diabetes is a scam. And they, when I told them that I've lost weight, I have brought down my numbers, and then the nurse said, let's see how long you can do it for. I said, are you serious? I mean, you are booing me. And then one other nurse said, what kind of life is that? You cannot eat anything. You cannot drink what you want. So I said, even the American Diabetes Association cookbook manual has a pasta on the front page, on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe that?
Wow.
And this, and the doctors and the nurses are telling you, oh, you can have bagels or muffins in moderation. It's like telling a crack addict, I'm sorry for being so frank, it's telling a drug addict, you can have your drug in moderation.
Right.
It never happens.
Right.
It never happens.
My goodness. Wow.
There's only way is to, it's like telling a guy who's trying to quit smoking, you tell him, oh, you know what? You can quit smoking slowly. It never happens.
Exactly.
I know people, I have friends who have quit smoking. They did smoking in a snap. They took a decision, a commitment, a dedication. They said, no, I'm going to stop smoking. Same thing with the people who were drug addicts. You do not wean off. You take a strong decision. Of course, your family, your friends, your environment. You change the environment around you.
Definitely.
So you throw away sugar from your home. You don't throw away pasta, rice, anything which gives you high blood sugar, cookies, muffins. Hey, if you are a diabetic and you are being told by the nurses, I'm not kidding you, this happened in blood. I walked out of that session. And then they called me again for the second session. And I told them, I'm not interested.
Right.
You guys, I'm sorry to say, but you guys are drug peddlers. You're giving me a free glucometer with 5 strips and telling me I can buy, they were actually advertising, you can buy 100 strips for $100 after from London Drugs.
So you see, it really was a business then that they were there to push. They didn't want to see you genuinely get well and reverse your diabetes.
No.
You know,
no.
And, you know, it's a matter of willpower. Not everybody has the same willpower to resist temptation. And
exactly.
It's better, like you say, get rid of the culprit foods from your cupboard as opposed to having there and being told to, you know, just eat one or eat it in moderation. Because I know for myself, how many of us, we have a pack of biscuits, we take one, before long, you know, that pack of biscuits is going to be done,
exactly.
Right? Because you can't just have one.
Right. Exactly. That is what all the YouTube videos and on motivation, or they talk about self-development. They talk about the same thing. You change the environment.
That's right.
And that once the environment around is changed, and you are forced, your brain is a trickster. Your brain is going to play tricks with you. So you have to be stronger than your temptation.
That's
and
right.
If you do not have self-discipline, if you do not have self-control, then good luck. You're going to end up being after metformin. Metformin if I can be very frank and open, metformin is a club. And in a club, you are paying the membership fee, and then you're going to be put on insulin. They're going to keep you alive as long as you are paying the bills and buying the medicines and buying those expensive, the monthly expense. The amount of money an average diabetic on insulin is spending is far more than, not in terms of just money. I mean, imagine, I've seen my mother. It's so emotional. It's very personal and sensitive. My mom is running out of places to prick her thrice a day or twice a day. I mean, it's a crime to put people on insulin. If I can say that here on your podcast, if I repeat, it's a crime to put people on insulin. It's a crime. If people are ignorant, if people do not know, people do not, I agree, not everybody will have that kind of self-discipline or self-control or dedication. But as doctors, you're telling them to manage it. How? By having a pasta in moderation.
Yeah.
By having potatoes in moderation.
That is not good. Yeah.
That is not right. That is, see, there's one thing, illegal and unethical. It may not be illegal, but I find it personally unethical. Telling, I saw in that session, there were women, there were people there who are having a bagel in a diabetic information session, and the doctor is not telling them, hey, can you please not eat a bagel? It's a diabetic information session, and people were having McDonald's burger.
Wow.
I was like, wow. Yeah. There is no way these people are going to get better. And when you speak... when you speak up, you get booed upon and your ass will leave. Because I said openly in their face, I don't want this glucose meter. I did not take it.
All right, good for
you. I left it there. Yeah.
Good for you. Yeah. So, I mean, definitely the key thing there is to be aware, to educate yourself, and don't sit down and depend on the doctors, because the doctors and the pharmaceuticals, as I have mentioned already, they're working hand in hand to keep you sick. Keeping you sick is keeping them in business, unfortunately, but that's just the way it happens today. So moving along, tell us what happened when you went back to your doctor and you got your numbers done.
Oh, that was a funny moment. So I went back to him, and he was like super impressed. He said, wow, this is so good. So metformin is working. I said, what metformin? I did not take anything. And his jaw dropped. He was so happy, so proud. He was like with a notepad and a pen. He said, can you please share with me, what did you do? I have more than 2,000 patients. I have so many of them out of that number is diabetic. I'm so proud of you. He called other doctor from the other cabin next to him, and he's like showing me like a trophy, like this guy did it. That was like very emotional moment for me as well. I was like almost in tears. It's like all that
your accomplishment for yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So the doctor said that I don't want to see your face. He actually said it. He said you're doing so well. So I don't want to see your face for the next 6 months. Keep doing what you're doing, and that's it. You don't need me.
So, Kamal, can you give us a breakdown exactly of what a day would look for you in your meals? How did you change your diet? So your typical diet consisted of dal and roti and things like that. And your new diet that you changed, that you now implemented, what did that consist of? Could you give us an example of what you were eating?
Sure. What I was eating before diagnosis was mostly, I was not a big fan of muffins or donuts, but I love bagels. So I used to have a lot of bagels and coffee, a lot of coffee with sugar, and I think insulin resistance and caffeine, they are also very closely connected.
Yes.
So I did a lot of reading and research, so I had to quit coffee as well. So
was that hard for you? Was that hard for you to quit the coffee?
You won't believe it.
Yeah.
I was like, I was so close. This is funny. I hope you find it funny too, because I would walk into Blends or Jaja Bean or Starbucks just to get the smell of coffee in that place, and stand in the line. By the time my number came, then I would run away.
Yeah, I do love the smell of coffee too. It's just awesome.
It is a stimulant. It is a socially accepted drug like alcohol. It is playing with the chemical in your brain. It gives you adrenaline rush. So it was difficult for me. Coffee was one thing which was like really. I think it was harder for me to quit coffee than sugar. I don't know. Maybe it's different for everybody. But I found coffee is like, wow, the smell, I can still smell in
my head. So what did you replace the coffee with? What did you drink instead of not having the coffee? What was your new choice of beverage?
Well, I switched to, for those 8 weeks, when I had to bring down the numbers, I did not switch to anything. It's just hot water or green teas and chamomile tea and all the other herbal teas I put.
So you did a lot of herbal teas. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so continue. What was your menu, your meals like?
So, and one more culprit in my getting type 2 was my lifestyle. I was sitting long hours. I work in the visual effects industry, sitting in front of a computer for like 10, 12, 14 hours, doing sometimes 40 to 60, 80 hours a week.
Wow.
Sitting long hours, and they feed you with the pizzas and Coca-Cola and sugary drinks and fizzy drinks, and you can drink as much as you want. So basically, yes, going back to the environment, if you are given choices, your mind will take the path of least resistance. So nothing tempts like temptation, you know. So that was my diet before. And when I found out that, okay, this thing has to go, so first thing first, I threw out sugar, from my home, literally took the bad sugar out. I gave away rice and wheat flour to my friends, and everything was plant-based. Everything was mostly raw salads. I eat a lot of salads, smoothies, green smoothies, and something new I introduced to get protein. I was eating a lot of peanut butter. You would not believe, before 2018, I never ate peanut butter. I never liked it.
Yeah.
And now I have it every day. In fact, one of my meals is, yeah, it's my staple. I go and buy like 12 cases of organic peanut butter from.
Wow, that's a lot of peanut butter. So tell me, did your family change their diet too when you changed your way of eating?
Oh, yeah, of course. I have a lot of support from my wife. And she has been the pillar, and she changed her. I mean, it's a big thing also in home that the rice was staple. So we don't make that much rice. If you make rice, it's mostly brown rice or red rice or wild rice, which is healthier. And we change the bread. We eat gluten-free rye bread or spelt bread, which is totally gluten-free and least amount of carbs. We eat more beans. We eat more garbanzo, more kidney beans. Mm-hmm. We eat more lentils. And so...
That's good. You know, I find a lot of people, I know when I became vegetarian, the first thing I felt was, why did someone tell me the food could taste this good? I would have been a vegetarian a long time ago, you know, because you're just thinking it's this stereotype salad and chickpeas and, you know, things like that. But I've actually, you know, the way you cook it makes it very tasty and appetizing. Yeah. You have to just learn how to cook it, get some good cookbooks out there, and you know, you have a really good meal and it's not boring, like the myths out there to believe that vegetarian food is not tasty at all.
Yeah.
Excellent. Great. So the doctor was shocked when you said that you lost your weight. I recall that you also made a statement that you said people don't give as much thought about diabetes as they do about cancer.
I thought
that was pretty profound when you said that, because that's so true. So true. And
like
you said, the diabetes is the silent killer.
Yeah. It's like termites. It's like you see the wood looks totally fine from outside, but it's hollow. It's so you take your finger, it will go inside, the wood becomes like powder. And this is exactly, that's why the problem is, we take cancer seriously because cancer is a death sentence. If I can say diabetes is a death sentence too, but it's not as loud. People do not realize how serious this whole thing is. Mm-hmm. It's degenerative. Your whole immune system, your whole guard is down. You open up your body for so many other complications. Mm-hmm. So the problem, people do not see it coming. They continue on their diet. And the thing with metformin is, metformin will show you numbers that yes, your diabetes is in control. But the main thing is diet and what you put in your body.
Yeah.
They don't change that. They don't lose weight. They keep the metformin gives them a kind of a pass. Oh, I'm taking my medication. My doctor told me that I'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And this is where, again, I'm coming back to responsibility. That you said no, and this is, I'm going to fix it. I screwed up. And this whole thing goes back to, again, you, the person.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, I heard a study a few years back that about 75% of patients believe everything that their doctors tell them. You know, we put our lives practically into their hands, and we don't take charge. We're not accountable for anything. We just, when you go to the doctor says, do this. That's what we do. We take advice from the doctor without doing any research, and we need to try and research things for ourselves. So when you changed your diet, I know you mentioned that you work and you sat down, your job consisted of sitting down most of the time. Did you incorporate any form of exercise? And what sort of exercise did you do? Yeah.
I'm not a gym person, but I forced myself to join a gym, which was not a gym, but a class.
Okay.
Class-based HIIT and group classes, in which I would go and follow the instructor, and they would just drain you out in 45 to 50 minutes. Very, very high-intensity interval training. That has been scientifically proven to improve your insulin resistance. For cardio, I was doing walking. I was walking like 300 kilometers in December 2018.
Oh, wow.
that's like more than, I don't know, 10 km per day.
That's
almost
good for
10
you.
Km per day. I still do that. I still do that.
Okay.
I walk every day, 10 nice. km.
Beautiful. What's your next
step? Yeah, the next step is to finish my, I'm studying at IHN, Institute of Holistic Nutrition. I'm doing my certification to become a CNP. And my whole reason was diabetes. My focus is diabetes.
Right.
So the idea is to join a doctor or a Fraser Health Institute or organization or body which is working with diabetes and give my experience and journey and help other people to reverse it and tell them that if I can do it, you can do it too.
Definitely.
Provided you follow the steps and you follow what it takes, basically.
Yes.
And there's no shortcut. There is no shortcut. There's no easy way out.
True. So tell me today, Kamal, what piece of advice would you like to leave for anyone listening today who maybe just learned that they have diabetes or someone who's been living with diabetes for a while? What would you like to share with them?
Okay. It's just one word, and I think it's fasting. And it's very difficult because people confuse fasting with starvation.
Mm-hmm, true.
And if I can use the word, it's called TRF, time-restricted feeding. And if I can owe all my success of bringing down the numbers, it is just one thing was this whole idea of fasting. Because it's called autophagy in medical terms. Basically, you are restricting your diet in given number of hours. So you have 24 hours. You can follow 16-8. You can follow 18-6. Mm-hmm. Or then there's something called warrior diet. So in December, when I brought down my weight,
yes,
and brought down the numbers, so those 8 weeks, I was following the warrior diet. And the warrior diet is a diet of 24, which is that you stay in fasting state for 20 hours. In those 20 hours, you can take anything below 50 calories, mm-hmm, 50 kcal, which is herbal tea, black coffee, if you want. If you cannot quit coffee, you can take water, but nothing that breaks your fast. So
right.
So I was doing OMAD, one meal a day. And with one meal a day, I was walking 10 kilometers. So I was going calorie deficit. I was burning fat like coal in a locomotive.
Wow.
My body was cleansing.
Good.
Detoxification. Yeah. So it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
It was December, Christmas time, people having parties, cakes. Mm-hmm.
That's the worst time to go on a fast and change your diet.
Yeah, I was put on the deep end of the pool.
Wow. Good for you, though. You accomplished that, and I know you must
yeah.
feel good within yourself that
yeah.
you've brought your
yeah.
numbers down and you're healthy
yeah.
and happy, and you're ready to take on the world and share your journey with someone else and help them make that same change in their lives, too.
Yeah. One
yeah.
thing I want to tell people,
go
all
ahead.
Those listeners,
yes.
imagine, I would tell them to do an experiment. Take a backpack, fill that backpack with 20 pounds worth of weight, and carry that backpack mm-hmm. all day long from the time they wake up till they go to bed. And at the bedtime, take that backpack off, and then you realize all this extra weight your body you're carrying, your heart has to pump extra blood, your organs are working extra. So the amount of load you're putting, just imagine. So how I felt so light after losing those 20, 30 pounds, I could not believe that I was 83, 86 kg at one
wow.
time. Yeah. I came down to 68, 69, 70. I'm stable around 70 now, but I'm just thinking how more active I feel. I mm. feel lighter. I feel I can walk more and
you
I just
more
feel
energy.
More
health. Mm-hmm.
More energy. The yeah. sleep is better.
Yes.
I don't get tired very easily now. In fact, fasting, when you're not eating,
yeah.
you're giving rest to your body.
Yes.
I see people treating their luxury SUVs much better than their own bodies. I don't know how many people know, when you eat a meal, it stays in your system for 48 hours. Before it gets clean throughout, you again eat, and then you again eat. There is no end to this cycle. So, but when you do fasting of 16 hours even,
mm-hmm.
18 hours, 20 hours, or one day fast, Your body is saying thank you. It's the reason why so many people are living longer. Like my grandmother, my mom's mom, she has no diabetes. She eats one meal a day for the last 20 years. She's 95.
Oh, wow.
She's just old. She's 95, but she has no heart problems. She has no diabetes. My mom, on the other hand, she has it.
So how come your mother hasn't taken a page from your grandmother's book or even looked at you and made a change?
You said it before, the white coat syndrome. Coming from India, they had the option to take the opportunity to get treatment from Ayurveda.
Yeah.
To convince people that, yes, we are here for you.
No, and it's not that case. You know, I want to go back to what you said with the backpack experiment of 20 pounds. I think that's an excellent thing that someone should do, really, to get a feel of what it feels like walking around with 20 pounds day
extra.
In and down and day and night, day in and day out, you know, extra, yeah. As you said, that is quite difficult. That's a lot. And now that you've got that 20 pounds off, you feel lighter, you have more energy, you get better sleep, you know, and the list goes on of all the health benefits. And, you know, at the end of the day, you've also reversed your diabetes, is what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
And there's so much health benefits for, you know, changing your diet and taking your life into your hands and not leaving your health into the hands of the doctors who will only give you half of the truth that you need to make a change. But they're not giving you the complete, you know, cut this out, you know, change this.
So
thank God for people like you who are here today to share your health journey, because I'm positively sure we're going to have someone today who has learned quite a bit from hearing your story. I know it's drastic what you did, because you did that in 8 weeks, but still it's steps to take and to know that, you know, there's help out there. Well, the resources out there, and there's doctors, like you had mentioned, Dr. Jason Fung, I believe.
Yes. And his book is called Diabetes Code, and there are books, and actually diabetes reversal programs by Dr. Neil Bernard, and How Not to Die by Dr. Michael Greger, Dr. Neil Fulman, End of Diabetes, that's the name of the book, and there are plenty of other resources. First thing first, if I can recap, first thing first, extreme responsibility.
Yes.
Second thing, educate yourself. Third thing, strong will and self-control and self-discipline. I know they are big words and heavy words, sounds very preachy, but it's like going to the gym. It did not happen to me overnight. I when I talk about fasting, it was not easy either. I did it baby steps. Like if I was getting up in the morning, I'm not eating immediately. I took it to, okay, I'll delay it by 1 hour. The next day, half an hour, then half an hour more, then 1 hour. Slowly, slowly, I pushed it to 16 hours. Then I stayed on 16 hours. Then I said, okay, I will push it today to 18 hours. So there are tricks. Like you start your day in the morning, you don't get up and have breakfast or tea or a toast. You start your day with apple cider vinegar. You take one large tablespoon apple cider vinegar, one lime full squeezed, pinch of Himalayan pink salt, in half a liter of warm water. You sip it slowly, sit down in a zen way, no need to gulp it down, chew your water. If I can repeat, underline bold, chew your water. There's no hurry. When you take that in the morning, first thing is warm water with apple cider vinegar and lemon, lime. It gives your system a feeling of satiation. You feel satiated. You feel that, okay, I'm not hungry. So, like right now, it's 12:45. I have not had anything since. So I'm going to eat after 1 o'clock and I will not eat after 6 p.m., maximum 7 p.m.
So you have your last meal between 6 and 7 p.m. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So I just want to recap. There was a few things that you mentioned there. So I wanted to just recap again. You said number one was take responsibility. Number two was to educate yourself. Number three, that to have a strong will.
Yeah, it's like going to the gym. You have to do it slowly, baby steps.
Yes.
Be harsh on yourself. Everybody's telling you don't be harsh. I would say be harsh on yourself. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you won't get result. Go old school. This. If this is normal and normal is not working, there's no going back to normal. The same thing people are saying about COVID-19. I would say if doctor is not harsh on you, your family is not harsh on you, you have cookies, pies, muffins lying around you, the books are telling you, oh, You know, it's one life, live in moderation, have alcohol. I have friends who are diabetic and they cannot quit drinking alcohol. Their HbA1c level is 11. Mm-hmm. This guy is going to die. But he says, oh, it's one life, I want to have fun.
Wow.
Why are you so harsh on yourself? So wow. The old school says no pain, no gain. Mm-hmm. It is true.
Very true, very true. And that goes for everything, you know, even with exercise and studying. Yeah. When you study, you have
for
to study
education,
hard.
Yeah,
everything.
Exactly.
Yes, very true.
You have to stick to certain things. You have to have a compass to guide you. You cannot say moderation, oh, you know what, I'll have one drink. Nobody ever had one drink and stopped there.
Yes, awesome. Well, thank you so much again for sharing all these helpful tips. I know someone is going to take them to heart and apply them to their own lives today. Yes. And you're just so very passionate that you want to share and you want to help
exactly.
everyone else get on that same
exactly.
journey and get to that place of wellness for themselves.
If you can reverse one diabetes for one more person, I'll be.
Okay.
I'll have no words.
Well, great. Thank you for sharing and putting that
Thank
out
you so
there.
Much.
And I appreciate you. Thank you so much for being on this podcast today. I know someone has been encouraged by your story. Thanks again, Kamal.
Happy to be here.
Wow, what an incredible journey as to how Kamal not only took his health into his own hands, but how he reversed his type 2 diabetes in 2 months. As you heard from Kamal, it wasn't easy, but he made the decision to change his diet and ate healthy. He started exercising by simply walking and became focused. And in 8 weeks, his blood levels were better than normal. You can do it too. Diabetes is known as the silent killer because it can take years before a person experiences any symptoms. And when they do, the damage has already been done. Diabetes is the 7th leading cause of death in the US. There are 3 major types of diabetes. Type 2 diabetes is the most common. The body doesn't make enough insulin or can't use insulin properly. The person is either middle-aged or elderly, they're overweight and with a family history, followed by type 1 diabetes, where the body doesn't make insulin. This generally develops in children or adolescents, but can also develop in adults. There's no family history, and generally the person is not overweight. And finally, gestational diabetes occurs during pregnancy and usually is temporary. If you happen to be a person of African heritage, or you have excess body fat, high blood pressure or cholesterol, or even a family history of diabetes, then you need to take the information Kamal shared today seriously. Do you know what your blood sugar levels are? Please take charge of your health and self-care. Diabetes can be reversed, but you have to take the first step. Thank you for listening to the show today. I hope you enjoyed the topic and found something that you can apply to your own life. Don't forget to share this episode with your family and friends. And remember, live well daily.